Okay. Well, that was fun. Let us turn to the Gospel of John, where the disciples were not dancing. John 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. The Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again together in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now I'll end that here. Through the word of the Lord, may God add God's blessing to it. Pray with me. Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Would you know what I picked up last week's sermon? It's Easter still. I can do that. How about it? So may God's presence be among us as we hear the word as it is intended for our ears this day. Well, last week we sang about our alleluias, and we sang Christ is risen today. With Mary Magdalene, we looked for Jesus and learned he is right there with us. We sang, "Soar we now where Christ has led, alleluia. Following our exalted head, alleluia." Even if you were not here last week, you know the story, and you know what happened. Jesus rose up from the dead. So how has it been this week? With Jesus at our side, were we kinder? Was there a lilt in our step? Were we less judgmental? Did we let go of some hurt or some anger? Did we forgive? Did we go and tell anyone that Jesus is alive, reassuring them as they face the challenges of their lives? Did our fear disappear because not only was Jesus raised from the dead, he conquered death and all that is deadly in life? Did we let go of our fears? Knowing that Jesus is among us and believe that The truth is that nothing can ultimately harm us. Even cancer in the end will have no power over us. Even school shootings and people running into crowds with cars. Sophie? Okay. Even people, school shootings and people running into us with cars and trucks can ultimately not end our lives. Even if friends and family throw barbs at us, we are not overwhelmed with despair. Even if jobs are taken from us or our mothers make their way to heaven, the sting of death has lost its power. There is new life. I'm guessing we, you, me too, went back to our old ways as if Jesus had never risen from the dead, forgetting that he's right there beside us. We have let our fears overpower us this week. Our distrust, our anger, our hurt, our anxiety continued this week. We're not alone. You know those disciples? Even that very day that Mary Magdalene had said to them, "Hey, I've seen the Lord, he is alive," they locked the doors of that room where they were afraid of the Jewish leadership. All except Thomas, who had gone into town, were locked behind these doors. And then, a week after the day of resurrection, the disciples who had seen Jesus standing among them were still locked behind the closed doors. It's hard to let go of our fears and to change our ways. Jesus knew where the disciples were that evening. He knew what they had done before and after his arrest. He knew what they had been about while he died on the cross and was laid into the tomb. And now again, walking among them, he knew where they were and he knew how it was with their hearts. And suddenly, Jesus, knowing that they are still hiding, still filled with fear, knowing that that's where some of us are too, knowing what we have done and not done, he walks through these locked doors of the upper room and our locked tight doors and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Diane Roth, writing in the Christian Century, reminded me this week that peace be with you is not intended to just be an ordinary greeting, like, "Hi, how you doing?" or "Have a nice day." Jesus, when he says peace be with you, meant it for those disciples who were behind those locked doors and who still didn't get it that he was risen from the dead. And he means it for you and for me. Peace be with you. Three times he said it. You know, Jesus does not repeat himself very often. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Jesus didn't scold his disciples. He doesn't scold us. Standing right there among his disciples, he says plainly, "Peace be with you." Can you hear him? Can you feel what it means to hear "peace be with you" from our Lord and Savior? Take a deep breath. Do that. And hear it again. Peace be with you. Hear it behind your locked, scared, sin-filled doors and hearts. Peace be with you. And after then showing his wounds to his disciples, the wounds that we caused, he says a second time, peace be with you. And then he continues saying, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We can now go into that scary world. We can now face those who threaten to undo us, whether it's with guns and hatred or mean words, or as they try to undermine our confidence or deny that we are God's beloved children. We can go out into the world because Jesus sends us. And not only that, Jesus breathes on us, giving us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that will guard our hearts and lives, the Holy Spirit that will bring to our remembrance all that Jesus has taught us, the Holy Spirit who will be our comforter and our advocate, the Holy Spirit who will pray for us. With the Holy Spirit, Jesus empowers us to forgive sins. Yes, you heard me say that. With the Holy Spirit, Jesus empowers us to forgive sins. You know how hard that is to do. But with the Holy Spirit's strength and power, the sins of any we forgive are forgiven them. When we let go of another's sins, God lets go of them too. Now, I've long heard that next phrase, and I bet some of you have even got it memorized with me. And I think it's one that we're often comfortable hanging on to. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I learned something new this week. Professor Mary Hinkle Shores, in her commentary on The Working Preacher, borrows and expands a suggestion from another professor, Sandra Snyder, that we've mistranslated that text. It doesn't say sins in the second time it's written, that second half of the verse. It doesn't say if you retain the sins of anyone, they will be retained. The word sins is not in that section, not that phrase. She says instead we need to look at it as if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if anyone whom you hold fast or embrace is held fast, so those that we hold tightly, so we forgive the sins of those who, and they are forgiven. But at the same time, when we hold fast, the person rather than the sin, the person, they are held fast. We're taking in some new members today. That's always a cool thing to do. But in that time period when we take in new members, we promise to hold them fast. And all of us here, I'm thinking, have either been baptized in our church or another church. And we've all, most of us maybe even joined a church, this church or another church. And in that joining of the church, we have heard the congregation say, we care about you. We want to strengthen you on your journey. We will hold you fast. What a gift to give to one another as followers of Jesus. What a gift to know that we are there, that someone is there for us, that the church is there for us with this gift of supporting us through the challenges of being faithful followers. That, my friends, is how we manage our fears. We receive the peace of Christ. We know that our sins are forgiven and that we have the power to forgive others. And we have fellow believers who will stand with us, hold us, love us, come what may as we follow Jesus. Trust that good news.
for you. You are loved. You are held. You are embraced. You are loved by others in this very place. And I invite you to share that love with others, embrace others, hold them, remind them through the gift of the Holy Spirit that they too are beloved children of God. Peace be with you. Amen. As I sing that with you, I remember in 1984, I was on duty as chaplain in a hospital. You may be seated. And as I went into the neurology ICU, neuro ICU, I sang that song a cappella. It was really powerful. I hope you found some power in it.